Last week on this program, Dick Chandler, president of Freedom Scientific, heralded some new developments with respect to hardware from their Blazy engineering division. However, some new hardware has recently been released by Blazy, and as usual, there is the regular update for all of the Blazy family of note-takers. So to talk about these developments, we're joined this week by Alan Holst of Blazy Engineering, a division of Freedom Scientific. Well, Alan, regular as clockwork, Blazy has come out with another series of updates for its note-takers. I wonder if you can take us through some of the key features that we can find in the 2000 update.
I would be delighted to. There are really four features, and I'll go through them one at a time, and you can ask me about them as we go through. The first one is Grade 2 translation, and it requires a little bit of explanation because we've had Grade 2 in the units for several years. First of all, we had View in Grade 2 a couple of years ago, and that allows you to take a text document that you might have loaded from the Internet, anything that is in standard text, and see it in Grade 2. And the great thing about that is that you can flip back and forth between the Grade 2 version and the ASCII Braille version. So if you have any questions about the ambiguity of the translation, or for some reason you want to see it, its exact form before translation, that's an easy thing to do. And we also in the past have had a program, an external program called QuickBraille. And that was a program you could run from within the unit and generate a Grade 2 file, but it wasn't built in. This year we did build the Grade 2 translator in, so now you have the option to either view it in Grade 2 or generate a Grade 2 output file for paper, or generate a Grade 2 file version of it that you can actually work on.
How fast is that Braille translation?
It's quite fast. It takes just a few seconds to run over a good-sized file. And, you know, this discussion of the difference between view and Grade 2 and a translated file, it might be helpful if I give kind of a practical example of where you might use one and where you might use the other. If you receive something that you're just going to read, you know, a story from the Internet, a newspaper story, something like that, clearly just using view in Grade 2 is fine. And when you use View in Grade 2, you aren't changing the actual text document. It will always be in the ASCII format, even after you've read it. It just changes the way you view it. But it can be a bit of a frustration if you want to do any editing in the file. For example, I do several charity auctions every year. And the companies will send me, or the organizations will send me their program via email. But I couldn't edit those because if I wrote in Grade 2 and then ran View in Grade 2 over it, it would mangle my notes. So now I would run the translator, generate a Grade 2 version, and I can actually edit that one. It takes about 5 seconds to do a couple of page file.
I suppose the other big advantage is space, that Grade 2 is traditionally smaller, and that if space is at a premium, it'd be better to convert these files into Grade 2, and you'll get a lot more bang for your buck in the note taker.
Well, in the current BrailleLite 40, we have 4 megs of flash memory. In the new one that we'll be coming out with by the end of the year, there will be 12 megs, and we will also have flash ROM cards, or compact flash cards. Space isn't so much the issue as just the convenience of Grade 2, because we've got plenty of room.
Is there ever a reason why you might want to keep QuickBraille on your system? Are there some things that QuickBraille will do that this new built-in feature will not?
I can't imagine a reason.
That's excellent. So that's the first feature, and what's the next one that's exciting to tell us about?
Well, the second one is one that I'm very excited about. It's one that we've been talking about for a couple of years and now actually have. It's called Layout Mode, or 2D, and the idea is it lets you use context to create meaning. This may be a little esoteric for people who only use speech, but the idea is that with the current Braille lights, there's only one vertical line down a file, and that is the left margin. What you have the ability now to do is to generate a file or a version that you can work in that is truly two-dimensional. So you can have a vertical line going down any column that's in the unit. Another way of saying this, a completely different way to say this, is envision a piece of braille paper that can be as wide at this point as 256 characters and will soon be 1,000 characters wide, and literally hundreds of pages long, hundreds of lines long. So it lets us use braille in some new and, I think, more print-like ways. It will let us use use position or location to create meaning, or let us use context to create meaning. It'll be useful for things like an interest table. If you envision a table where you have years going down the left-hand side of the page and interest rates going across the top, along the top, when you have a chart like that with old paper braille, you know, you'd have to have several pages just to represent the first 25 lines and then several more pages to represent the second one. Now you could do it on one large theoretical two-dimensional plane.
Does the size of the braille display matter with this feature? For instance, is it going to work better with the 40 than with the 18-cell display?
Good question. The short answer is a little bit, but not as much as one might think. We obviously have access to 40-cell displays and to 80-cell displays for computers. I've found that while we can support an 18-cell display with JAWS on the computer, I don't recommend it to people. This is a similar kind of environment, except for the fact that you're able to work more in grade 2 if you want to. I think that the answer to that is actually that if you're using grade 2 braille, the 18-cell is enough. But if you're using text that is spelled out and you're using ASCII braille or what might be referred to as grade 0, 18 cells really just doesn't let you display enough information at one time to be truly useful. So I think that while the feature will work well on both an 18-cell and a 40-cell Braille Lite, if you're going to use spelled-out text, you probably would prefer to do it on a 40-cell unit.
Now, this is quite an interesting concept that you probably have to play with in front of your note-taker to actually really appreciate, but I wonder what sort of feedback you've had from customers since it's been released.
Well, I think customers that it's only been out for about a month. I think customers that have seen it, it's kind of stimulated their imagination. But I think you raise a really good point. You have to really have your hands on it to appreciate it. Even talking about it, I feel kind of a little geeky because it's a fabulous feature when you're actually using it, but it is difficult to talk about. And, you know, that leads me to something, Jonathan. I really, as I hope you know, and I've tried to convey to you an email, have such respect for this medium that you've created, because could you imagine somebody tuning into this broadcast tonight, hearing us discussing this, who has never used Braille or never been in touch with it? This kind of narrowcasting that you do on the Internet with ACB Radio, I think really allows us to talk about features like this and learn about features like this and share the things that we have that are unique to our world. And it's why I think your program and your station is so fabulous. But to get back to the concept, what I think we're going to find is that in the first couple of months with this feature, people won't yet know how to use it, particularly if they haven't had a lot of experience with these kinds of things in print. So if someone is blind from birth, as I am, and hasn't used an opticon or hasn't ever seen print, it's difficult to even imagine how to use it without a little bit of trial and error. But I think for people who have seen before, or for people who have used an opticon, or for people who can get the concept into their head and imagine to use it and how it works, it will be a very powerful tool.
I wonder what this means for OCR packages in the blindness industry, Alan, because traditionally an OCR package for the blind makes an executive decision that what people generally want is for text to be decolumnized and available in a pure linear fashion. Whereas if you have some sort of phone bill or tabular document, it may be that what you now want from that OCR package is for a straight ASCII dump of the data as it's laid out on the page so that the BrowLite can then cope with it in 2D mode.
It's a good point. We'll have to consider how that could fit with things that we would get from Arkenstone. Obviously, under the Freedom Scientific model, we have access to that particular piece of technology. I think the reading machines up to this point have been focused so much on standard text, you know, narrative. But clearly, to appreciate something like a bill that is laid out with columns, this would be great for that.
What about the drivers for screen readers? For example, if I'm running JFW with a BrailleLite and I get to a table in Internet Explorer, are the drivers at the stage where I can go into 2D mode when I'm using the BrailleLite as a Braille display and navigate the table that way, or is that not possible just yet?
Well, you know, you raise an interesting point there. This is strictly a note-taker feature. It is not at all involved in the screen reader side of things at all. When you're using the screen reader, you are using a different component of BrailleLite software, and that is in the hands of a screen reader. Now, we may take some concepts that we figure out how to do in JAWS and port them over to this medium, but I really feel, having been involved in this industry for 15 years, that there is a huge difference between products that are designed for blind users, and specifically around Braille and speech, and commercially available screen reading type products. And what I'm hoping we can do with this 2D feature is take advantage of context, but not be limited by what's on the computer screen. You know, actually, the theoretical two-dimensional plane that we can work with is much bigger than would traditionally fit on a computer screen. So if we were going to use it for something like with Arkenstone, my suggestion would be that we would download it into the BrailleLite and use it there and take advantage of 2D editing features and 2D viewing features within the BrailleLite rather than trying to do that on the PC.
Well, that's a very interesting point you raise, that over the last 15 years or so, I've noticed a real philosophical shift in this industry where traditionally what's been said was, what we need are screen readers. We want to know what's on the screen. And in the last little while, with things like the JFW virtual cursor and the WindowEyes MSAA mode, you've got a situation where people are saying, no, actually what we want is access to the information, and if that means rendering the raw data and putting it into a different form, so be it.
Yeah. It's a hard thing when you've struggled to master, to build in your mind and in your imagination a picture of the screen and say, I'm going to give that up now and go back to accepting a rendering of it. But I really think in our world it's probably the best way to do it. Particularly when you consider that with window screens today, they can do things that we can't do with Braille and speech. To add meaning, like there are different kinds of coloring and highlighting, or using different sizes, different shading, things that we just don't really easily understand, and that actually I think interfere with our ability to interact with the information.
Okay, so that's 2D mode, something you've got to feel to believe. What's the third feature out of these four that you have?
The third one is a Windows version of PC Disk. Now, PC Disk is a product that we've had for several years, which allows you to use the disk drive on your computer as a disk drive for your BrailleLite. And that ran in MS-DOS. But what we now will have is a Windows version, so that any file that is on your computer in Windows can be loaded into your BrailleLite. It will actually let your BrailleLite be seen as a device by my computer and Windows Explorer. So it would see it essentially as another disk drive.
People are going to have to be a bit careful with that, aren't they? Because obviously if you copy a Word document to the clipboard and then paste it into your BrailleLite with the software, your BrailleLite is not going to be able to cope with the Word document, right?
Well, that's a good point. We do not have a Windows screen reader in our product. we are not trying to pretend that we are a blind person's PC. I really sort of like to, I think you raise an excellent point. I like to make it clear that if you're going to do this, you need to save the file as a text file is the best way to do it. So if you're going to, for example, save a Word file, and try to bring it into your Braille light, you're not going to be happy. But if you use Word and say, save this as a text file, or when you're done, load it back into Word as a text file, everything will work just fine.
I read on the support list that this program works at 9600 baud and not the maximum 38.4 that the note takers support. Is that correct? And if so, what's the logic behind that?
We're still in early points of making this product work, and I think the ultimate desire is to make it work as quickly as possible. That I've seen that comment too, and we ultimately will be working at the maximum speeds that the data can be safely interacted with on the Braille light. So I think our ultimate objective is to get the speeds up.
Is there any sort of reverse process so that you can transfer stuff back from your Braille light to Windows with this software?
Yes. And the other thing you'll be able to do is to archive your note taker. You'll be able to archive and restore, just like if you use a SciQuest disk or something like this for the sake of backing up your hard disk, be the same thing. You'll be able to archive and restore your note taker.
That'd be really good when installing updates, for instance, when it's always a safe idea to back up just in case.
Absolutely.
Now, there's a bit of confusion about whether this is part of the update or is this a separate product that users will need to purchase?
Good question. As you know, there is software in the Braille light. It's what you get when you do an update to your unit. And to be able to run WinDisk, you will need the 2000 update. However, there is a separate component, and that is, of course, the piece that runs on the PC. That is the piece that has been in the past called called PC Disk. Now, that piece will be available free at the beginning of its life. And ultimately, there may be a charge for it, but at the beginning, when we first come out with it, it will be available. Everyone who has the 2000 update will be able to use it. And I think going forward, we may have it integrated into a screen reader, because people who are using their Braille lights as displays for the screen reader are already connected. At that point, we may need to visit pricing policies a little bit, but at this point, at least, it will be free.
Very good. And when is that bike piece to be available?
My goal is to have that piece on the street by September 1st.
And we still have one more feature for you to tell us about.
We do. And that is the ability to save and restore calculator values. Kind of esoteric, but in the Braille light calculator, you can assign a value to a letter. So, for example, you can say A equals 1.9 or 1.09 for the sake of discussion. So anytime you want to know what something is plus 9%, you can just say times A. And this can be real useful. I have macros, actually, that will carry out something for 10 years so we can figure out if you got 9% interest on something for 10 years, what would it be worth? In that example, I have a macro that just does that. It just goes in and says times A, not 10 times. But these values can be stored assigned to letters, and now you will be able to save and restore 9 sets of those.
Well, I can immediately see that in countries where there is a value-added tax, such as New Zealand, Australia, and Britain and Canada, you can put in the value of the value-added tax into one of those memories, and it makes calculating the tax a whole lot... Well, in fact, of course, individual states have a sales tax too in the US, so that's an immediate use for it, I can see.
That's exactly right.
The Braille light updates, and of course these also apply to the Braille and Speak and Type and Speak, and we'll talk about the Type light shortly. How much do they cost, and how do people go about obtaining one?
The Braille Light updates, you get those by contacting our office. You can contact the Freedom Scientific office, actually, at the old Arkansas number if you want, 800-444-4443, to purchase an update. Let's see. We, in the United States, people can also contact, you know, a dealer if they have one. But most people deal with Blazy directly on those. I'd rather not get into the pricing of them. They can get the pricing when they call just because I don't want to make a mistake.
Right. That's fine. So are you the primary person that writes the software each year for the note takers?
We have a team of people, and I am not a software writer as much as I am more in the marketing and sales end of things. We all sit down and figure out what we're going to do in a given year. We have a suggestions at blazy.com where you can send suggestions, or, of course, I'm Alan at blazy.com, and I will always be glad to take suggestions on what should go into future updates, but we work as a team. I would you could classify me either as a Freedom Scientific Associate or as a product manager, but we work as a team. There are several people who write components of it.
Now, let's talk about a new product, which surprisingly to me, perhaps hasn't been given the attention that it rightly deserves, and this is quite new from Blazy, and this is the Type Light. What is it?
Well, Type Light is to type and speak as Braille Light is to Braille and speak. Or another way of saying that is, this is a portable note taker, just as the Braille Light is. It runs the same basic software, but instead of having a Braille keyboard, it has a typing keyboard. And it also, of course, has a 40-cell Braille display. It has the cursor router buttons. It has both 12 megs of flash and then the ability to support compact flash. These compact flash cards are the same cards that are used now for digital video, so they're becoming very common, and they're in the commercial market, which will help all of us. It'll make them cheaper. This also can be used, this product also can be used as a Braille display for a computer. So just as a Braille Light 40 can be used as a Braille display for JAWS, Type Light will be able to be used as a Braille display for JAWS. But one of the features on this is something that we had on old VersaBrailles. And it was a feature that when we put it in VersaBraille, I was real excited, and I am equally as excited to have it here, actually more excited to have it here because of the longer display. And that is a toggle switch that lets you flip the display so that you can be a Type Light 1 minute and then flip the switch and be a Braille display for your computer the next. This makes it, I think, one of the most flexible sensory aids you can imagine, and it lets the Braille display do double duty, because the Braille display is by far the most expensive component.
That I remember that in the old VersaBraille. That's a very nice feature to have. Now, there's no Type Light 18, right? Just a 40-cell version?
Just the 40-cell version, uh-huh.
How does it compare in size with the Braille Light 40?
Well, it's about the same thickness, but obviously with the typing keyboard, it's quite a bit deeper. It's about the size of a book.
And that 12 megs of flash, that must be your most memory capable product right now.
Today it is, yes. Uh huh.
And how much is that selling for? Do you have an approximate price on that one?
Yes, that is on the market today, and that is $5,995. In the U.S.
I realize that with hardware it's complicated, but are there any sort of upgrade paths for those with existing note takers who might want to look at changing to a Type Light?
I appreciate your awareness that with hardware it is complicated because there is a cost involved, obviously, in the hardware. But I can announce right here, and this will be a first on ACB radio, or a first, I shouldn't say on ACB radio, but a first announcement for us on this fact. You will be able to trade in a Braille Light 40 on a Type Light, and we will give you $2,500 credit. So if you take your Braille Light 40 and $3,495, you will be able to get into a new Type Light.
And that's the only hardware in the Blazy family where there's going to be that kind of policy? Nothing for BrowLight 18 users, for instance?
At this point, that's the only one that I am authorized to mention.
Right. That's a very diplomatic answer.
It becomes necessary in a bigger company, you know?
Yeah. But that's not a problem. We will await further developments on a whole range of issues that that Dick talked about as well with considerable interest, and maybe at the appropriate time we'll have you back on the program to discuss those when things have been fleshed out a bit. So I certainly appreciate you coming on the show. Is there anything that you want to cover in conclusion that we haven't done yet?
No, other than, you know, as I said earlier, just tremendous commendations on what you're doing. We want to be available. We want to answer any questions. And when we have information, we will be more than happy to share it.
Thanks very much, Alan. Appreciate that.